إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise is due to Allah, we praise Him, we seek Allah's forgiveness, we ask for Allah's assistance, and we seek refuge in Allah from our evil souls and our bad deeds. And we barely whomever Allah guides, no one can mislead. Whomever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa'alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa'alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi as his servant and his messenger. Ahlan wa sahlan. Prepare yourself next time, inshallah, for a 500 riyal late fee. You put it right here on the table for me. I'll use it to make coffee and make everybody else drink, inshallah. 9 o'clock, you should be here, brothers. This is like work. This is better than work. Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullah. 600 riyal late fee. He's like, what did I do, man? I'm innocent. Yes, sir. Waalaikum salam. Huh? Come in, habibi. But next time, make it before 9 o'clock and come with the tea at 9 o'clock. Don't let the tea waste you, distract you from the class. See, I bring the coffee with me here. I don't make it and come. Okay, anyways, we are recording too many things that are not relevant. فالآن اليوم إن شاء الله سوف نكمل ما انتهينا منه في الجلسة الماضية. وكنا قد انتهينا عند قوله تعالى فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا. Today, inshallah, we will continue where we left off last week from the explanation of Surah Al-Kahf, chapter of the cave. And the reason why we said we were doing this particular chapter is because the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicates that we recite this chapter every Friday. Every Friday. There's a virtue for reciting Surah Al-Kahf on Friday. Such as you getting your sins forgiven between the Friday and the Friday that's coming plus extra 3 days. That's 10 days being forgiven if you recite the cave on Friday. Alongside another narration says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have some light illuminate from here all the way to the heavens because of your excuse me, recitation of Surah Al-Kahf. So since we recite it, we might as well understand what we are saying. That's why I want you to be serious about this class. Tafsir is one of the most important subject matter that you can discuss in Islam because you are explaining the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we're just translating what somebody else did. I'm not doing the job. Rather, I'm translating the tafsir of Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. It's a very valuable book of tafsir. And it's very important for us to know what we are reading. That's why I would like you to bring a notebook and a pen specific for this subject of tafsir. So you can write down the number of the verse that we are discussing and preferably write down the verse if you have the ability to do so by copying it from the Quran. Then you put the notes that you hear and the benefits and the wisdom that you hear from me. So when we're over with this class, after a period of time, you will actually have a notebook full of tafsir where you will know what Surah Al-Kahf means. So when you read it in Arabic, you will already have memorized what you are reading because you had written the tafsir before and you wrote the verses in Arabic. So this is a big deal. I cannot encourage you enough to do this. It should be something that you want to do on your own. So we will continue inshallah. For those who missed it, you have missed 6 verses. And believe it or not, it took us 2 Fridays to go over 6 verses. Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullah. 700 riyal late fee. By the time the last surah comes in, it will be a million riyals. So you missed 6 verses. No problem. Inshallah, you will get it from another brother who's been careful and on time. And you catch up with us from today. We stopped at the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إنا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الله says إنا جعلنا ما على الأرض زينة لها لنبلوهم أيهم أحسن عملا. Verse number 7. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily we have made that which is upon the earth an adornment for it. So we will test them, who among them is best in deeds. وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا. Who could read what the tafsir says? وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. Who could read what the tafsir says in English in the Noble Quran for verse number 8? وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا. يَلَّا يَا brothers. Yes, read it. Please.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. And verily we shall make all that is on it, the earth, a very dry soil without any vegetation or trees.
Beautiful. Okay, and the verse before that I already translated for you. طيب, here's what the Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى says. يخبر تعالى سورة الكهف. Verse number 7. See what happens when you come late, ya Shaykh? You miss out on the goodness, Habibi. And you miss out on coffee. So it says, يخبر تعالى أنه جعل جميع ما على وجه الأرض من مآكل لذيذة ومشارب ومساكن طيبة وأشجار وأنهار وزروع وثمار ومناظر بهيجة وعليكم السلام ورياض أنيقة وأصوات جشية وصور مليحة وصور مليحة وذهب وفضة وخيل وإبل ونحوهما ونحوها الجميع جعله الله زينة لهذه الدار فتنة واختبارا. Listen to this, this is dangerous. The Shaykh says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us that He made everything which is upon the earth from delicious food, delicious drink, liquids, beverages, masakin tayyiba, nice residences and homes, villas, castles, even your regular apartment, trees, rivers, vegetation, fruits, beautiful sights, like you see beautiful sights, mountains or waterfall and what have you. Aywa. And beautiful gardens, and beautiful sounds, and beautiful images, beautiful pictures, and gold and silver, and horses and camel and what have you from these things in this day and time, cars and this. الجميع جعله الله زينة لهذه الدار. All these Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made as an adornment for this residency, for this, يعني the residency of earth, of this world. فتنة واختبارا, as a trial and a test. That's what Allah says in the Quran. إِنَّ جَعَلْنَا مَعَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. We made all that which is upon earth an adornment for them. So we will test them who is better in deeds. So the people will fluctuate according to this test at various levels. There are those who take full advantage of these adornment, of this adornment that Allah had made for this world, and they totally miss out on the objective of life, which are, these are the disbelievers. And then there are, as you move on to the state of belief, people who believe yet they are so conceived by the pleasure of this world that their actions are not really at a level of safety that will save them from being tried and being tested through this world and failing the test. That's why Muslims will go to the fire, right? I hope they told you this before you became a Muslim. The only religion on earth that once you become part of it doesn't tell you, oh, you're going straight to paradise, is Islam. You are on the way to paradise. Now you were traveling this way. Now that you have become a Muslim, now you're going in the right direction. But if you don't want to walk, I can't push you, Habibi. If you don't want to move, I can't force you. I can only lead you in the direction. And any Muslim who's been given the bounty of Islam, he has been put on the path to go to paradise. Some people will run,
Some people will jog. Some people will walk fast. Some people will walk slow. Some people will stand. They don't want to move. You push them, don't want to move. Only when calamities come upon them, they get scared and they run a little bit. You want to push, if your life ends and you have not traveled towards Jannah, you ain't going to Jannah. You're not going to go to paradise. But the nice thing about it is because you died as a Muslim, a believer in Allah alone, that He is the only one deserving of being worshipped, and believing in all of His messengers, you have been given a ticket that will take you out of the fire one day. One day. You go to the fire for Allah knows how many years because of the way you lived your life. But then because you died as a believer, one day by the mercy of Allah you'll be taken out of the fire, permitted to paradise. This is the virtue of dying as a Muslim. The person who doesn't die as a Muslim will never be taken out of the fire. See the difference here? So although we are Muslims, which is great, we do not have any guarantees that we're going to go to paradise. All of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, which were the most righteous people, and they were giving glad tidings, they were giving the good news. The Prophet, peace be upon him, would tell some of them, you're going to Jannah. But he will be spending all of his night praying and crying, hoping that Allah will accept from him, hoping that Allah will allow him to paradise. This is the nature of the true believers. The true believer never feels secure. You never feel secure 100%. If you feel secure, Satan is playing games with you. Rather, the true believer travels unto Allah on equal wings. One wing of hope and one wing of fear. If one wing is not working, you're not going to fly. For you to fly right, you have hope in Allah. You never say, Allah will never forgive me, Allah will not have mercy on me. No, 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 haram. Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Never despair from the mercy of Allah. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Come on in, Habib. Alaykum as-salam. Alaykum as-salam. I kindly advise the brothers, inshallah, to come at 9 o'clock sharp. Otherwise, there will be an 800 riyal late fee. That's a lot of money, man. Hey, that's somebody's salary. You come another 10 minutes late, it will be 3,000 riyal. So anyways, let me just give you a brief preview. We are in Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 7. I advise you to take out a piece of paper and some pen and take notes. Because this is important. And I thought that I had put pause, but I guess it didn't pause. Nice. Anywho. So going back to the point. Hey, we're still in the class. Yeah, Jabab. So, as a Muslim, we have to travel between hope, hoping in the mercy of Allah, never despairing. Never say, I'm going to the hell. You can't say that. Allah might forgive you all of your sins, if Allah wills to do so. And you also have to have fear. Never be, say, no way, Allah's too merciful, He will never punish me. Shaykh, where did you get this information from? Did you receive a fax from heaven that says that you're never gonna be punished? You're a very special person to us. MashaAllah, live life the way you like. No way. If this was the case, wallah, people will transgress. People will cause corruption upon earth. This is why the disbelievers cause corruption upon earth. Because they think their sins are only forgiven. So it all goes. Everything goes. Alcohol, shield, drugs, shield, fornication, yalla. Nothing, so why not? I'm cool, I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. I'm too good. Life is good. This is the misconception that is present with the disbelievers. That's why they cause corruption upon earth. A Muslim can never do that. Because you don't know what's going to happen to you. This is from the mercy of Allah. That we don't know. Because if you knew you'd go to the fire, you would not work anymore. You say, forget about this, man. If I'm going to the fire, what's the point of living? And if you know you're going to paradise, you're just going to depend on that. But when you don't know, you work. You hope you will go to paradise, which is what we are supposed to do. And you fear being permitted to the hellfire, which is what you're supposed to do. Because of this hope and fear, you are traveling like a bird with two sound wings working properly. You just fly safely. You make it from this world to the hereafter, and inshallah you'll be permitted to paradise.
Because of that idea in your mind, you will live your life properly. So we mention here then that since Allah put everything on this earth as a test, these beautiful women are beautiful. I'm sorry, this is going to be heard. Not all of them, but men like women, so this is why we need to lower our gaze. You can't look at every woman you see. You cannot. Islamically, it's forbidden for a man just to wallah. MashaAllah, look at this beautiful sister. Yes, 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 MashaAllah. Turn your gaze away, man. You're not supposed to be looking at a woman. Allah made them as an adornment for this world. Cars, you see a Mercedes, you see a Lexus, you see a Bentley, I don't know what are other cars. Or a big house, big homes, big villas, big beautiful sceneries. Allah put all this as a test. So those who will become over attracted by these things, they will chase them. Forget about Allah, forget about the religion, forget about obedience, forget about obeying Allah and His Messenger. All this they put behind their back, they go after the worldly pleasure. These people were tested through this adornment of this life and they fell short. They failed the test. Others, alhamdulillah, ask Allah to make us among the others, they don't play around. They know that these things are a fitna, so they don't go there. When you know that something is a test for you, you don't go there. Safety is the best thing in the world. They say, the Arabs say, Al-Adala as-salamatu la ya'diluha shay. Safety is not equal to anything. Yani, there's nothing equal to safety. Safety is the best thing in the world. For example, you are standing on this side, there's a train track. Tayyib, the railways, whatever they call it. You're standing on this side. You're safe. Somebody tells you the train is coming. Either you jump, you cross before the train comes, or you try to do it and the train runs you over. Or the third option, that you don't do none of this stuff. You just stay on your side just watching. Which one would you choose? You stay there, man. Okay, I don't want to try. What if I go and then the train runs me over, I die? And if, let's say I made it, Allah, that was a big test. The best position, safety is just to stay, I don't want to do it. You go do it. Barakallah. And I'll just stay over here and I will just wait for the train so I can ride on it like everybody else and go to the station that I want to. You want to play games with life? Go ahead. Safety is the best thing. So we know that these things are an adornment. The safest position is you leave it alone. Of course, Allah by His mercy makes some of these things halal for us to enjoy. So you are allowed to get married. You're not like the Christians who they declare themselves to be dedicated to God, and then they leave alone wives. Then they play with little children. Yes, yeah. You're better off getting married to a woman and living a normal life rather than making me say you're some pious man in the church and you're molesting 3,000 children, all of them become mentally retarded in the future. Then they ask me for $1 million and then the church is paying out, getting money from the people, paying out for lawsuits for all sexual molestation. In America, this is common in every church, by the way. This is not something I bring it from home. This is very common. So Allah made it permissible for us to get married. You could have a nice car. You could have a nice camel or horse. You could have a nice house. No problem. Some of these things that are a source of fitna have been made permissible for us. As long as we are smart enough not to become too attached. We only take whatever we need and we leave alone whatever we don't need. So this is the difference. And people, believe me brothers, people are at a million different levels in regarding this test. And this is a very fundamental verse in Islamic legal system. The purpose of life, because there are more than one verses that explain the purpose of life. This is among them. This is among the verses that explain the purpose of life. Allah says, we have made everything upon this earth for you as a fitna, as a test to see which one of you will be best in deeds. So some would be disbelievers by disregarding faith and going after the worldly pleasures. Some would be better than that. They would keep the faith, but they would be too immersed into the worldly pleasure. And the muttaqeen, the righteous, pious Muslims, are the ones who leave alone these things and they stay with faith. If something from these things comes to them, they say Alhamdulillah. They utilize it in a halal way. If it doesn't come, they don't cry over it.
They do not cry over it. You don't have money, you don't have a big house, you don't have four wives, no problem. Life goes on. The real reward is in paradise. It's not here. You may get it here, you may not get it here. So the next verse then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَأَنَّ لَجَعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا. Before that, the Shaykh mentioned regarding the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا أي أَخْلَصُهُ وَأَصْوَبُهُ وَمَعْ ذَلِكَ سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعَ هَذِهِ الْمَذْكُورَاتِ فَانِيَةً مُضْمَحِلَّةً وَزَائِلَةً مُنْقَضِيَةً وَسَتَعُودُ الْأَرْضُ صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا قَدْ ذَهَبَتْ لَذَّاتُهَا وَانْقَطَعَتْ أَنْهَارُهَا وَانْدَرَسَتْ آثَارُهَا وَزَالَ نَعِيمُهَا هَذِهِ حَقِيقَةُ الدُّنْيَا قَدْ جَلَّاهَا اللَّهُ لَنَا كَأَنَّهَا رُؤْيَا الْعَيْنِ وَحَذَّرَنَا مِنَ الْإِغْتِرَارِ بِهَا وَرَغَبْنَا فِي دَارٍ يَدُومُ نَعِيمُهَا وَيَسْعَدُ مُقِيمُهَا وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ 6,000 ريال late fee 7,000 ريال late fee وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ إيش هذا يا شيخ عبد الهادي 9:35 I'm gonna have an attendant I'm having an attendance sheet And then those who will miss too many classes, we will call the Sharta so they can take your decision. And they can prison you for 3 months.
We're waiting.
Aywa. The Shaykh said, it's basically, let me just translate roughly, because I already explained that myself. As for the statement of Allah, لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ Aywa. What happened? Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 7, Habibi. Or excuse me, verse number 8. Yalla ala tul, ala tul. The Shaykh said, regarding the statement of Allah, لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا So we will test them who is better indeed, who is the best indeed. What is intended by this, according to the tafsir of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and the early generations, أَيُّ أَخْلَصُهُ وَأَصْوَبُهُ يعني the one that is most sincere and the most according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. You with me? What is intended by best in deeds, meaning the one that is most sincere and the most in accordance to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because everybody here should know that there are two conditions for the act of worship to be accepted by Allah. Right? We discussed this many times, Ya Shaykh Abdul Aziz. Sincerity. We need to do the things that we do for the sake of Allah, not for anybody else. And not for the sake of Allah and somebody else. That's another problem. Because somebody thinks that, okay, I'm doing it for the sake of Allah, but I also have a few other objectives. So this is good. It's no good. It's either for the sake of Allah alone, or you get nothing. Ask Allah to pardon us and to rectify our intentions. The second condition for the act of worship to be accepted is, it has to be according to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You cannot innovate in Islam, nothing. And if you do, you will have zero reward. Plus you will be hated by Allah. Chances are you will become misguided and you will be responsible for all the people that you misguide. If you innovate in Islam. So somebody says, I want to pray Zuhr 5 rak'ahs. You tell him, look man, if you stay doing this, I'm not going to speak to you no more. You can't innovate. What do you mean you're going to pray Zuhr 5 rak'ahs? Zuhr is 4 rak'ahs. If you want your deed to be accepted, you have to do it according to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once you do something from home, forget about it. Two conditions: sincerity, mutaba'ah, following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Mutaba'ah, yani following. Mutaba'ah meaning following. And here, what is intended? Yani following Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his way.
Yes.
So. Regardless of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He will make all these adornments that we mentioned earlier on this earth, Jameel. Surah Al-Kahf, Habibi, verse number 8. Take some notes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us out of mercy to us that Allah will make all these things that were mentioned, He will make them extinct. They will go. They will disappear. And that the earth will go back to its original form and all of the adornment that has been put upon it will be removed. The rivers will stop flowing and the traces will be removed and the bounty of this earth will be taken away. He says this is the reality of this world. This is the reality of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so clear for us as if you see it with your own eye. It's so clear in the way it was described.
It's as if you could see it with your own eye. And this is the example as it comes in later in the surah of this life of this world. It's similar to, as Allah says, it's similar to rain that falls from the heavens and that it mixes with the earth. So the vegetation grows and it looks nice and it looks beautiful. And when the people become happy and they see that this earth is there and this vegetation is there and they are walking towards it, all of a sudden a storm comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it takes away everything and nothing is left. This is how this world is. We live and we reach a point of climax and we think we are enjoying this life and we have made the money, we have made success, and all of a sudden death comes and all of it, everything else is gone.
Alaykum salam.
And everything else is gone and you do not get to keep any of this stuff. This is the example of this world. And Allah had made it so clear for us that as if you see it with your own eye. And Allah had warned us from being fooled and being deceived by this world. And Allah made us look forward to the bounty that He has prepared in the hereafter. A bounty, a place of residency where the resident or the inhabitant of this residency, he will be in an utmost joy and pleasure. In paradise, there's no difficulty, there's no rent in paradise. There's no salary in paradise, there's no kafil in paradise. There's no problems in paradise. It's, you are in the paradise that Allah created for the righteous people. It is eternal happiness. He said, all this is a mercy from Allah to us. He says, فَاغْتَرَّ بِزُخْرُفِ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا مَنْ نَظَرَ إِلَى ظَاهِرِ الدُّنْيَا دُونَ بَاطِنِهَا. So, a person becomes deceived with the adornment of this world and its beauty because he only looks at the outer part of the dunya and he does not look inside. He's only concerned with the view and he's not thinking about the essence of life. What is behind all this? What is behind all this beauty? What is behind all this fitna? All this is trial from Allah. Is it for you to come and live life like an animal? Because those who do not attain belief, as Allah described in the Quran, they are very much like animals. Rather, they are more astray than the animals. Because the animals remember Allah. And the animals were created so we could use them. The human beings can use them. The camel was created for us to ride on it. And the horse was created for us to ride on it. And the sheep was created for us to slaughter it. And so was the cow. And the chicken so it could give us eggs. And the fish so we could get it out and eat it. Everything that is on earth, Allah has created for us. And the animals were created for us. Have you ever seen a cow? When you come to slaughter it, stand and say no. See you later, Holmes. It stays there. If it knows you're going to slaughter it, of course it's going to get scared. That's why the sunnah, as the Prophet ﷺ said, you have to do goodness in everything, even in the way you slaughter an animal. You don't come to the cow waving the sword, scare the heck out of it. You come with the sword behind your back, it doesn't know what's going on. And the animal should not see another animal being slaughtered in front of it. Because they know. That's why when you go to the place where they slaughter them on Eid, you will see them freaking out and acting crazy. Because they can smell the blood. And they know that somebody else was just taken and slaughtered. So the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is that the animals are slaughtered in seclusion, where they do not know. So the cow will just be sitting there, you know, doing its usual thing. All of a sudden, you cut it off. And you slaughter the neck. It doesn't know, it doesn't get scared, and it doesn't prevent you. So the animal does what it was created for. The son of Adam was created to worship, but he's too busy. So the animal became better than the disbeliever. Because the animal does what Allah created it for, and the animal remembers Allah. Allah says in the Quran, there's nothing except that they do tasbih. They glorify Allah, but you do not understand their method of glorification. So they do that, but the disbeliever is too busy to glorify Allah. Rather, he's glorifying others and partners that he had set up with Allah, and children that he had attributed to Allah. And he's glorifying himself, or glorifying this world. He's glorifying everyone except Allah. So the animal became better than the disbeliever in this sense. So this is very important for us to understand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had warned us and said, do not be fooled by the outer appearance of this world. Because what's inside, the essence of this life is much more important. He says, فَصَبَّحُ الدُّنْيَا فَصَاحِبُ الدُّنْيَا دُنْيَا صِحْبَةَ الْبَهَائِمِ. So these people
have befriended this dunya like cattle. وتمتعوا بها تمتع السوائم لا ينظرون في حق ربهم ولا يهتمون لمعرفته بل هممهم تناول الشهوات من أي وجه حصلت وعلى أي حال أنفق وعلى أي حالة اتفقت فهؤلاء إذا حضر أحدهم الموت قلق لخراب ذاته وفوات لذاته لا لما قدمت يداه من التفريط والسيئات. The Sheikh said, so these people, they were too negligent about the right of their Lord. So they did not give Allah his due right. And they did not become concerned with knowing Allah. And this is very important for us Muslims to understand. We have to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the objective of life is to worship Allah. And in order to worship Allah properly, you have to know who Allah is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave it in mystery. Ma'alaysh ya shabab. Rather, He revealed the Quran. And in the Quran, Allah told us about Himself plenty. That's why Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ, is equal to 1/3 of the Quran in its meaning. When you read Surah Al-Ikhlas, as if you read 1/3 of the Quran, because it speaks about Allah. Why Ayatul Kursi is the greatest verse in the Quran? Why? Because it speaks about Allah. It only speaks about Allah. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Allah, there's no God worthy of worship but Him. The Hayy, the life. Al-Qayyum, the one who everything is up and maintained through His ability. And of course the ayah continues. So the most significant verses in the Quran are the ones that describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the disbeliever, he's too busy to pay attention to this fact. So he sees the ocean. You go to the ocean, you see the creation inside, you see the whales and you see the fish and you see the beautiful flowers and all this, you know, fish that has electric and fish that has blows when somebody approaches it, and some really amazing stuff you see. And the disbeliever will live his whole life as a scuba diver. And he'll be sitting there in the ocean watching the creation of Allah, and he would never turn towards recognizing his creator or giving him his due right. And he doesn't think, who created this? Who made this so perfect? How can a fish do this? Who's the one who gave it the ability? Who's the one who created it, who proportioned it? Who's the one who's given it life? Who's the one who's sustaining it, maintaining it? Who's the one who's doing all this? The believer thinks that this way. When we see these things, we say, subhanAllah. That's why when you see something nice, say, subhanAllah. You remember Allah, because you give Allah His right of giving these creation, this amazing abilities. The disbeliver, for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, he will never pay attention to that. He will never pay attention to that. This is a person who was fooled by the outer appearance of life and never looked into the inside of it. And the Shaykh said, and these people, when death comes upon one of them, he becomes stressed and he becomes worried about the destruction of his own self, and that he had missed on all the opportunities to do good because of what his hands had put forth from evil deeds and negligence. And the Shaykh says, excuse me, وَأَمَّا مَنْ نَظَرَ إِلَى بَاطِنِ الدُّنْيَا وَعَلِمَ الْمَقْصُودَ مِنْهَا وَمِنْهِ فَإِنَّهُ تَنَاوَلَ مِنْهَا مَا يَسْتَعِينُ بِهِ عَلَى مَا خُلِقَ لَهُ وَانْتَهَزَ الْفُرْصَةَ فِي عُمُرِهِ الشَّرِيفِ فَجَعَلَ الدُّنْيَا مَنْزِلَ عُبُورٍ لَا مَحَلَّ حُبُورٍ وشقة سفر لا منزل إقامة فبذل جهده في معرفة ربه وتنفيذ أوامره وإحسان العمل فهذا بأحسن المنازل عند الله وهو حقيق منه بكل كرامة ونعيم وسرور وتكريم فنظر إلى باطن الدنيا حين نظر المقتر إلى ظاهرها وعليكم السلام وعمل لآخرته حين عمل الباطل لدنياه فشتان ما بين الفريقين وما أبعد الفرق بين الطائفتين. The Shaykh, may Allah mercy on him, was a dangerous, dangerous brother. If you read this whole tafsir, wallahi your mind will shrink to a certain extent from the knowledge that Allah has given this man. يعني والله, it's hard to explain. You have to learn Arabic with Dr. Yahya for you to one day read this, so you will be shocked. And I'm reading a small portion of what the Shaykh explained. When you read the benefits and the wisdom that he was able to deduce from this story, like Surah Al-Kahf and Surah Yusuf, things that you will never think about. Yani your mind cannot even reach a point where you could really deduce, yani you could extract the benefit from a verse the way the Shaykh rahimahullah used to do that. So inshallah, we will get to that as part of this surah. In particular, he will mention some of the benefits of Surah Al-Kahf. He says, anyways, as for the person who looks into the reality of this life, into the reality of this dunya, and he knows what is intended of it and of him or her in this case, then he will only take whatever he needs from it that will help him accomplish what he was created for. For example, you want to go to the masjid. And let's say you don't live in the Saudi, alhamdulillah, in this country, you have no problem. Anywhere you live, if you want to go to the masjid, the maximum you will walk is maybe 5 to 6 minutes. And you will see a masjid. Back home, this is not the case. In the Philippines, probably even worse. So, riding a car could be good and could be bad. If you buy a car so you can go to the bar, and you go pick up women, and you go get drunk, then this car is a source of calamity upon you. And it's a source of destruction, and you are misusing this bounty from Allah. Another brother, who knows that the masjid is 20 minutes away, and the only way he can pray the jama'ah and congregation as men are supposed to do, is if he buys a car. So he goes and he buys the car in order to get to the masjid. This is a person who utilized something that Allah has allowed us to have in this life as a source of trial. But he knew the objective of life, what he needs to do in order to worship Allah, so he used something that Allah made halal in order to worship Allah. So two people will buy two cars, and every one of them will be given what he deserves. One will get it for disobedience, and one will get it for obedience. It's a source of test for both of them. One didn't understand the objective of life, so he misused it, and the other one understood the objective of life, so he used it properly. You with me? You following? Okay. So he says, and this person, the intelligent person who looks at the essence of life and the purpose of life, he takes advantage of his life, of his age. Every day that goes by, he does not let it pass. And you will see that these believers, they have a birthday. They reach an age of 40 or something, and they've been disobeying Allah for 40 years, disbelieving in Allah for 40 years, careless about life for 40 years, and then they have the nerve to come and celebrate that they have reached the age of 40. 40 years of what? What are you celebrating for? What have you accomplished that Allah gave you life in this life of this test, and you have been... Did you say Alhamdulillah? Yarhamukallah. I'm asking you not to challenge. I didn't hear you, because if you said it, it's your right to tell you Yarhamukallah. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. If you did say it, then it is your right to be given Yarhamukallah. So, you tell this person, what are you celebrating for? Have you received any news that you're going to paradise? Have you accomplished anything? But you want to celebrate your birthday, and you are living life according to your own desires. So a Muslim, as he goes further in age, he becomes more worried. That's why a man came to Muhammad bin Wasi' rahimahullah, and he told him, Muhammad bin Wasi' asked this man, he said, how old are you? How many years have passed in your life? He said, 60. He said, subhanallah, for 60 years you have been traveling towards Allah. Soon enough your journey will end. For 60 years you've been going towards Allah. Soon enough your journey will end. So the man said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. To Allah we belong and to Allah we shall return. So the Shaykh Muhammad told him, do you know what it means? He said, what does it mean? He said, you said that to Allah you belong and to Him you shall return. If you know that you will return to Allah, then know that you will be stopped. And if you know that you're going to be stopped, then know that you will be questioned. And if you know that you're going to be questioned, then make sure you prepare an answer for each question. So the man felt stressed out, because maybe he was living life in a bad way. He said, "Man hila, what's the way out, man? You stressed me out." Me and you have the same thing, huh? He said, "You stressed me out. What's the solution?" He said, it's easy. It's easy. Do good in what remains of your life and the past will be forgiven for you. Do good from what is left from your life, the past will be forgiven for you. So the Muslim, as he goes further in his life, he becomes more worried that he's going to meet Allah and that he doesn't know whether he's going to go to paradise or hell. So you stop and celebrate a birthday and bring cake and laugh and poop and all these things. That's why in Islam you don't have no birthday, Habibi. No matter how special you are, you're not more special than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he didn't celebrate his birthday, neither did his companions, we're not going to come and do something that they didn't do. Because our life is not more valuable than theirs. And there's nothing really to celebrate. We should really be more worried. When you become 40, say, any day now. Any day. When you become 50, even closer. As you go older in age, you're getting closer to the departure, man. Bye-bye. Soon enough, you're going to say bye-bye. So what are you celebrating for? The Muslim has another objective of life. Anyways, it's not a fatwa class, but you know, I hope you understood how we feel about birthdays. That's why in Islam there's no birthday, Mama Day, Baba Day, Labor Day, Fufu Day, everything day they make a day. We don't have no day, Habibi. There's Eid Day after Ramadan, and there's Eid al-Adha after you sacrifice, after Hajj, ukhalas. This is all you need from holidays in your life. The rest you need to dedicate it in worshipping Allah. If there's a wedding, you can have some fun. Alaykum salam. Anyways, so this person takes advantage of his life, and he knows that this life is only a pathway. It's only a road that you're traveling upon in order to make it to the hereafter. So because of that, he exerts himself. His main... the other way, Habib. Now it's like a movie. So he knows, he exerts his whole life and his effort into knowing his Lord, into knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in obeying and carrying out his commands, yani carrying out the commands of Allah. The Muslim, the believer, this is his most important objective in life. The most important thing in life is to know Allah through his names and attributes, and to carry out the commands, to fulfill the obligations, to do what has been commanded of him to do. I'm still verse 8, Habibi. But the Shaykh's explanation is extensive.
Verse 8.
Aywa. So, وَتَنْفِيذُ أَوَامَرِهِ وَأَحْسَانِ الْعَمَلِ And improving his actions, improving his deed, having goodness in the action that he or she does. Then the Shaykh said, فَهَذَا بِأَحْسَنِ الْمَنَازِلِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ This person is in the best status. He is in the best status in the eyes of Allah. He is in the best status with Allah. This is a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And this is a person who truly deserves all kind of honoring and all kinds of reward and all kinds of happiness and all kinds of being treated kindly. Because so the person who looks at the essence of life is different than the person who looks at the one who's been deceived by it, who looks only on the outer part of life. And the first one works for his hereafter, where the second one, he only works for this dunya. So the Shaykh said, فَشَتَّانَ مَا بَيْنَ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ So woe to the great difference between the two groups. وَمَا أَبْعَدُ الْفَرْقَ بَيْنَ الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ And how distant, how far is the distance between the two groups, or the two sects. Yani, the sect of those, and the group of those who look at the essence of life, and they strive for it, versus the group of people who are only looking at the outer part of life, and the adornment of this life, and they miss out on the objective of life. So we will stop here, because Dr. Yahya's class is supposed to be, I believe, at 10, or Brother Muhammad Subhi, whichever one it is. I want to give you some time to breathe before the next class begins. Now, I urge you, please come on time. Ya Akhwan, we are all grown men. I know we might have some excuses sometimes. I'm not saying, Everybody has reasons. Sometimes Allah decrees you're unable to sleep on early, or your boss gave you some things to do right before you left, or maybe the taxi didn't come on time, or maybe your car broke down. Everybody has excuses. And inshallah, we will always assume that the reason why you were late is because you had a reason. But this is one situation. The second situation is a person who just doesn't care. So please don't be the second one. If you come late one day because of a reason, may Allah make it easy for you. But to come late because you just want to come late, don't do that. Because this is an example of what we have been explaining. Those who understand the objective of life, this is an opportunity for you to improve, to know Allah and to do good. And the one who's been fooled by the adornment of this world, he will be negligent from attending classes that will help them improve. Each one of us needs to improve in Islam. Nobody reaches the level of Wallah and Khalas. I know everything, Barakallahu Fiqh, I can just sit and drink some tea and give da'wah to non-Muslims. Even if you're a big sheikh, 200 years old, you could always come and sit under somebody else and learn from him. You might learn something, you might learn the way of delivery. Maybe he doesn't have as much knowledge as you, maybe he delivers better. Yani, there's no harm in going other places if you are able to do so. So please, next week, 9 o'clock. There's an attendance sheet. Today I only recorded 4, then everybody came late. I'm not going to waste the whole class recording. Next week inshallah, whomever, 9:05. If you're not here, I will not record you among the people who came on time, and then maybe there's a reward for these people. Besides the reward with Allah, this is between you and Allah. But the reward of the dunya, we will also try to get involved in that. You will miss on that. Maybe it'll be a valuable book. Maybe it'll be a book that if you read it, it will take you to paradise. And you will miss out on it because you were coming late. So I'm trying to encourage myself and you, come on time. 9 o'clock inshallah, huh? Everybody will be here. Bring a notebook and a pen so you can take notes of what's going on, so you will have be able to refer to it after we die, after some of us go away. You will always remember that you had these classes, and now you know what Surah Al-Kahf means, rather than just reading it every Friday and not knowing what in the world you are reading. The late people. So there were 4 brothers who came on time. The youngest one, Barakallah fi, is the, I believe he was the first one who walked in. And brother Rashan, and brother Idris, and brother Ismail. Those were the first early birds. And everybody else has a late fee that I was supposed to take money from you, but ma'alish. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, shahadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu.